Good morning, everybody. Good. Thank you for that. I feel I have permission to be myself and hope that you will be blessed because of it. But actually, that's a really important thing as church, as the body, that we are people who can just be ourselves. And that is our desire in this place, is that we are a bunch of people who are just ourselves, warts and all. So I hope that this morning that you can feel that you can be yourselves too. We're kind of going to carry on looking at our theme of transformed life, picking up on the material that we were starting to use in the life groups. And it's a really good opportunity to look at our identity and our belonging and our purpose. And when we look at transformation, there's something active about that. You know, there's something active about God changing us and transforming us to be more empowered to be the people that he is. And I've said this before, and I will keep saying it. This is powerful stuff in here, isn't it? But if it stays on these pages, it's not going to do an awful lot. It's when we take the truth out of these pages and we apply it to our lives that the real powerful, the power of what it's saying in us and through us really starts to take hold and impact not just us, but the lives of people around us. So Matt kicked us off last week. If you didn't get a chance to hear that on the podcast, it's on there. Go on the website and you'll get it. But he talked about how we are marvelously made. He talked about how our identity is wrapped up in being God's people and his possession, and about how we are in Christ. There's a lot in there, and I would really encourage you to listen to that if you haven't. But this week, we're going to look at, the theme for this week is eternally blessed. We are a people who are eternally blessed, or how amazingly rich we are in Christ. We talked a little bit earlier in the meeting about our world and the things that are going on around it, but one of the things that characterizes our world, and particularly our culture over here in the West, is that we are very materialistic as a culture. And periodically in the papers they'll publish the rich list. I do go on there and see where I am, but I've never made it. But our culture tends to judge people's success and judge how they are in society by their wealth and by what is in their bank account. And I think some of us, if we ever do look at those things and think, I wonder what it would be like to have that much money, we can start dreaming away. But we can get caught into that trap of looking around and judging people by their wealth. Most of us, I guess, have got a bank account. And I don't know if you've ever gone to your bank account, or you've gone to check, or you've gone to draw something out, and the balance isn't quite what you thought or were expecting it to be. Maybe you've paid somebody a check ages ago and you've forgotten about it, and they've forgotten about it, and they've remembered it, and they've paid it in, and you've not remembered, and all of a sudden that balance isn't quite as you remembered it. That's quite frustrating, isn't it, when that happens? But what is the purpose of a bank account? Well, a bank account stores what you have. Yeah, it stores what is yours, and it stores it in such a way that you have access to it. And what I want us to think about this morning is our spiritual bank account. If you just stay with me on this analogy a bit this morning, we're going to look at our spiritual bank account. And looking in Ephesians chapter 1, if you've got Bibles, you can find it. Ephesians 1, and we will just read. Did we have that one on there? Yeah, we'll read. Read from verse 3 to 14. Let me just read that to you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Do you know, the good news is that God has really blessed us. He has really blessed us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And that means that when we go to our spiritual bank account, we are not going to get any surprises. We are never going to find that it's slightly lacking, or that it's not got quite as much there as it once had before, or that we were expecting there to be something and it wasn't. In fact, we might be more surprised, because it will just keep on being full of God's blessings. Our overall balance is always, always going to read every spiritual blessing in Christ. This phrase, in Christ, is quite a good phrase that Paul uses time and time again in this passage. And in fact, just in this passage alone, in the original, that appears about 11 times, just in those few verses that we've read there. And that's something we'll unpack a little bit more as well. But we don't have to worry that the blessings that we have in Christ will ever run out. Even though the Word of God says that we are wealthy spiritually, and this is important, and this is what I was saying about if the truth stays in these pages, it's a bit useless unless we take it. But if the Word of God says that we are wealthy in him spiritually, if we don't know that, and if we don't understand it, and if we don't live our lives like we're spiritually blessed, then actually it's as good as being a spiritual pauper. So it's really important that we get hold of this truth, and that we understand how we can apply this to our lives. And there's a few points I just want us to think about this morning to do with our spiritual bank account. And these are some of the entries that you should expect to find when you look at your spiritual bank statement. And the first one is this: I am chosen in Christ. I'm no accident. It is not an accident that I'm here today. It's not an accident that I'm a Christian. And it's not an accident that I am where I am at this time today. God wanted me. More than that, he chose me. Verse 4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Do you know, I wasn't even an afterthought before the creation of the world. For those of you who know me, you will know how sporty I am not. And my experience as a child in school, and many of you have had this experience where the good players of the football team will choose the team. I was always chosen to sit on the sideline I was never chosen to be up front. And that's always a harsh feeling at that age when you kind of want to fit in. And then I got the revelation that I was rubbish at it anyway and didn't enjoy it, so I was quite happy. But actually that feeling, if you ever are chosen, which on occasions I was chosen, admittedly not too much once they got to know me, but I was chosen to play. And that feeling of, do you know, I've actually been chosen to be part of this team. And do you know what? God knows you. He knows what you're like, and it's not even an and yet. He says, I want you. I am choosing you. I know what you're like, but I love you and I am choosing you. Imagine you found in your possession a very rare plant. Very rare plant. It's a big deal. And you think, you know, I've got to show this plant off. So what do I do? I need a vase. So I'll go into my vase collection that I have and I will choose the best vase that I've got for the for showing off this plant. So you pull it out from the back of the cupboard. It's a bit dusty. It's a bit grubby. Whoever put it back last time hasn't done a very good job with it. And so you scrub it clean. You get it all nice and shiny and looking really good. And then you put the flowers or the plants in it, and it shows the plant off beautifully. And that's an illustration of what God wants to do with us. God wants to display his glory and his majesty and the person of who he is in us. He wants to dwell in us. And he has chosen you. He said, you know what? You are the vase that I want to use to display my glory. I have chosen you. That's a good place to be, isn't it? I am chosen. The next thing that we will find is this. I am adopted in Christ. Do you know, adoption is a legal process. And it changes the state permanently of a child to an adult or set of adults. It makes that child a legal, an actual son or daughter, or a brother or sister, and brings with it all the legal rights with it. Verse 5, Paul says this, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. And that's a powerful thing. You know, he hasn't just said, you know, just come and join our club, come and join our gang. He hasn't said that. He hasn't said, well, you know, you can tag along as a guest. He hasn't said that. He said, no, look, I'm going to make this official. I want you part of my family. I am adopting you. And again, this isn't an afterthought. God wants us. In the material, some of you might have got as far as this, there's this lovely quote. If I can just find it a moment. Class of school children were discussing a picture of a family. One little boy in the picture had different colour hair from the other family members in the picture. One child suggested that he was adopted, and a little girl said, I know all about adoption because I was adopted. What does it mean to be adopted? Asked another child. It means, said the girl, that I grew in my mummy's heart instead of her tummy. How profound, and what a lovely way of describing what that means. But do you know, we are the apple of God's eye. We are in his heart. And he loves us so much that he is saying, you are mine. I am adopting you. And it doesn't matter whether you've come from a place where maybe you feel that you were never planned, you were never even wanted, or that you may have been rejected or abandoned. There is a perfect father out there that loves you and that wants you. I love the fact that I can call my God my Father. Do you know what? As adopted sons and daughters, that means that God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. That puts me and you on an equal footing. God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. But even bigger than that, that makes me a joint heir with Jesus. That makes me an heir of God's estate. That is an incredible thought to get our heads around. But actually, that changes my bank balance. That when I look at my spiritual bank statement, wow, that's big. That is huge. My bank balance and your bank balance actually looks incredibly healthy. The next point, I am free and I am forgiven in Christ. Verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. You know, in this period of time that Paul was writing, slavery was quite a common thing. It probably wasn't even a taboo thing like we think of now. It was just an acceptable, accepted part of their culture. People had slaves. If you were a slave, it meant that you were owned by somebody. It meant that you didn't have your own rights or your own choices to make because they weren't yours to make, because you were owned. And the only way that you could be set free from being a slave was if somebody else paid the price. Somebody out, you couldn't, because you didn't have the right to, you didn't have the resource to, it wasn't your place to. But if somebody else did that for you and paid the price to the person who owned you, you could be set free. Let me read you this other story from the book. Gara was a slave of a great African chief, Lieb, I don't know how you say that. To evade his cruel owner's anger, he escaped, was pursued, captured, and being led back in chains when an English trader offered gold for his ransom. Lieb answered the trader, "Man of the pale face, I seek not your gold, I need blood." At Lieb's sign, an archer prepared an arrow to shoot at the trembling Gara. The Englishman saw it, and he thrust his arm between it and the slave, and drew blood. Lieb raised his hands in amazement. He knew the trader was well known, and his name esteemed in that area. Looking Lieb full in the face, the trader said, "You seek blood, there it flows. I claim your slave." Then turning to the slave, he said, "Gara, you have been bought by my blood. Your life, which belongs to me, I give to you." That is exactly mirroring what Jesus did for us, isn't it? The cross, you know, we don't dwell on it massively. We don't talk about the cruelty, the gruesomeness of what Jesus went through. But there was a lot of blood. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of grotesque things that happened to him. He could have stopped it at an instant. But he chose to go that path because he knew that the only way that you and I could be set free from slavery to sin was if someone paid the price. He was the only one who could pay the price. And the price involved blood. He bought us back. We are now his because of that. What he did then paid the price for sin and for all sin. Sin in the past, sin in the present, and sin in the future. The great thing for us is that we are now forgiven. There is no guilt. There is no shame, and there is no condemnation. All too often, we hear the voices in our head or of other people just reminding us of our wrongdoings and our mistakes. And we're probably better at reminding ourselves than anybody else. But we don't need to condemn ourselves because a price has been paid. When we were praying before the meeting, Molly prayed a prayer that really amused me. She said, Lord, this is my paraphrase, forgive me if I get it wrong. I said, Lord, I don't know why we keep praying some of these things, because we're not going to change what's already the truth. I guess we just like to talk about it. And I thought, you know, that's really good, because we do. You know, there's a lot of truth. There's a lot of things that actually are, because God said they are, and yet we still ask him for them, and I don't know why. Lord, don't leave me. Be with me. Well, it says in the Word of God, I will not leave you. Well, if you've said that, Lord, you're not going to do it, so I don't need to keep reminding you. But yeah, I find myself reminding you. Maybe I just need to remind me. Maybe that's why we do it. But we are free. We are people who are free and forgiven. And that is a great feeling. It is such a releasing feeling. So when we look at our spiritual bank account, we don't see in a separate column a list of things that we need to pay back, or that we need to get forgiveness for, or a little account of our misdemeanors. No, they've gone. They've already gone. God has already hit that button and they're wiped off. Okay, next one. I am expectant. We did talk about some of the stuff going on in the world today, and we prayed earlier over some situations that are going on, and that is so right that we do that. You know, God has placed us in this world to make a difference. And when we get together, when we pray, and when we're active, God does make a difference. But if we're not careful, we can have quite a gloomy, pessimistic outlook and view of the world around us. I actually make a point of not watching the bad news at 10. This is what I call it, because I actually don't want to go to bed filled with how bad the world is. I'd prefer to choke on my breakfast over that. That's my personal choice, by the way. But, you know, you only have to look at the news to realize that there's a lot of stuff that isn't great around. And we need to be careful that we don't get pulled down by that. And the same with circumstances that are going on in our lives. You know, we're constantly navigating our way through our days and our weeks. Yeah, and you know, we'll get together over coffee and catch up with each other and share some of the ups, highs and lows of the week. And I hope that we do that honestly, because actually that's important that we do that, and that we're family together and that we support each other. But we can so easily allow the circumstances of our own lives to pull us down and pull us away from the truth of the Word of God. Do you know, Paul wrote this letter, which is so full of hope and expectancy, from a prison cell. He could so easily have been consumed with what's happening to me, and this is such a bad thing for me, and for the gospel and for the message, because I'm in prison, woe's me. But yet, no, he went, okay, well, I've got time to write hope and expectancy for everybody else who's out of here. He wasn't looking at his immediate circumstances. He was looking at the truth of the Word of God and how to keep applying that, how to keep pushing that, how to keep living out for him, even with all that stuff is going on around him. And in verse 9 he says, this is Paul talking about God, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth and under Christ. Paul had got the revelation that God was going to come, and that he is and he will bring restoration and harmony to the whole universe. And it's so important that we don't lose sight of the fact that God will win. God is the winner. And we, as part of his family, as people who are chosen by him, as people living a purpose-filled life for him, ultimately, we are going to win. You know, we are on the victory side. And so we need to be so careful that we don't allow our personal circumstances, other people's personal circumstances, the world's state of affairs to actually bring us down and cause us to go, do you know what, is it worth it? I feel like giving up. Yeah, do you know, we all feel like giving up at times, and that's where family, church comes in, because we can bolster each other, we can pull each other up when we need to, and just encourage each other. But, you know, let's be people who strive to not allow ourselves to be pulled down by the things around us. And it's important not just to be expectant of the things that God is going to do and bring, but also to know that I am part of it, that this affects me, that I am part of what's going to happen. It's not just something nice that's going to happen to other people who look a little bit more spiritual or who've got a slightly more spirit-filled bank account than I've got. No, listen, let me tell you, our bank accounts are all the same. There's no difference. Mine is the same as yours. Last one, I am secure in Christ. You know, we've, as parents, you know, we spend a lot of time trying to make our kids feel loved and secure, don't we? Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong, but we show it in so many different ways, don't we? We love our children. We provide materially for them. We make sure that they've got food to eat. They've got a bed to sleep in. We listen to their problems. We support them. We guide them. And we do everything that we can to nurture them. God, as our perfect parent, does it even better. He uses his word in this word of God that it is full of promises. It is full of the fact of truth about who we are in him, about who he is, about how we need to live, about what's best for us, about what best choices are for us. A lot of it comes with conditions, doesn't it? If you live like this, then this will happen. If you don't, then that will. But God wants us to be secure. He wants us to be secure in him, in our relationships with him, and in the way that we live. And if we get hold of the truth of the Word of God, which means reading it, it means studying it, it means understanding it, and it means living it out, then we know that then our experience is that of security with God. He doesn't try and hide stuff from us. He wants us to discover and to know and to understand the truth. And he wants us to feel secure in that. The other way that he makes us feel secure is through the Holy Spirit. Read this, verse 13. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And I love this concept and this principle. God's seal. I think, you know, it's not like one of those that you see at the zoo. It's not one of them seals. But it's a bit like, you know, the royalty, the king used to have a seal that if he sent anybody out on his behalf, if they had his seal, that person carried with him or her the king's authority. And it marked them out as different. It marked them out as somebody who belonged to the king or who was there on the king's business. It meant that they carried his authority. So if they came and presented something or did something or made a decision in the king's name with the king's seal, it meant that they were carrying the authority of the king. And it also demonstrated that they had come under his ownership and his protection. So when Paul says that God's seal is on us, it's all of that. You know, as people who have the Holy Spirit, when we believed, when we became Christians, God put the Holy Spirit inside us. And that Holy Spirit is like a seal. It means that we are marked out as different. It means that people will know, should know, that we are different because we are marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit starts operating and moving in our lives. And when we start and when we carry on living a transformed, transformation life, because we won't ever get it 100% till we get to heaven, will we? You know, we are all works in progress, and that really encourages me that we're all in this together. We are people who are transforming, and that is because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And as we change, and as we become more like him, well, that demonstrates the authority of God in us, the fact that we are owned and we belong to him. That's an empowering truth to get hold of. I have the seal of God on me and in me. Therefore, I can walk out with authority. He also talks about the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. And I love this concept as well, because it's a bit like an engagement ring. I know we've got one flashing around over there somewhere, haven't we? And an engagement ring is, it causes a certain amount of excitement, doesn't it? And people with engagement rings, looking over there, yeah, look, there we go. Everyone says, you know, oh, look, oh, it's that one, isn't it? Look at my ring. And when a couple get engaged, then everybody wants to see the ring, don't they? And there's a proud concept with it. You know, this is it. We're committed, and this is what's to come. This is a small token of the bigger picture of what is to come. And it also says, hands off, she's mine, doesn't it? Just so you know, hands off, she's mine. She is taken. And when we belong to God, when we have the Holy Spirit in us, that is like an engagement ring. It is like saying, do you know what? This is great. This is fantastic. We have got a relationship that there is a commitment to, that is not going to be broken. There is a promise that's been made, but the best is yet to come. And that is how it is for us. Do you know, I love my relationship with God. I love when the truth of the Word of God gets revealed to me, and I grow, and I love who I am in Christ. I get so excited when I see God moving in the people around me. I love it when God makes a difference and an impact. And I go, do you know, I love being a Christian, because this is awesome. But the best is yet to come. You know, what we've got now is great, but there's something even greater to come. How do I know? God's given me a bit of an engagement ring with the Holy Spirit in me, and there's a promise that the best is yet to come. It is so exciting. And just to bring this all to a close, we need to know this morning that we are eternally blessed. And that eternity starts today. It started a long time ago, but we are eternally blessed. And when we look at our spiritual bank account, all of these things are there. I am chosen in God. I am adopted in Christ. I am free and forgiven in Christ. I'm expectant of the things that are to come. And I am secure in Christ. Let me just remind us that actually none of us can earn the bank balance that we have got. None of us can earn it. Actually, we don't even deserve it. But God has given it to us. It is a gift from him. The great thing is that if you're a Christian here this morning, you've got great credit score. Yeah? You've got great credit score. No one or nothing can turn you down spiritually. Even if it tries, you have great credit score. we have a bit of an issue with a bank account that's not got very much in it because we've not used it for a very long time, and in the process of trying to tidy up paperwork, I'm in the process of asking the bank for a new PIN number so we can actually access the money that's in there. It's only a bit. It's not a big deal, but don't be somebody that loses your PIN number in God. We can so easily take our eyes off the truth and take our eyes off the bank statement. And we can forget how to access all that we are in God and all that He has for us. Don't lose your PIN number. And if you're somebody here this morning who's never really been in that place of relationship with God, and you're going, well, bank accounts and all that, I'm sure that's not something I've heard of before, but it's something I can kind of get what you're saying behind all of that. Let me just encourage you this morning. It is so easy to set up a bank account in God. It is so easy. You don't need to go through credit ratings and all that kind of thing that we would have to do in the material world that we live in. It is as simple as saying, God, I believe in You. I trust You. And I know that I need Your forgiveness. But actually, I'm all in with You from this moment on. It's as simple as that. And just as we wrap up and close, what I want us to do is just allow the Holy Spirit to challenge us this morning. And actually, if some of the stuff that I've been talking through this morning, you've gone, I'm just connecting with that. I'm realizing that there's bits in my life and in my walk with God that I've just taken my eye off that truth, and that I just need to reconnect and reaffirm and remind myself that I am chosen, that I am adopted, that I'm free and that I'm forgiven. Am I expecting of what God's going to do? Do I feel secure in Christ? You know, if some of those things are just the Holy Spirit's challenging you with, just realign your spirits with Him. And if you are in a place this morning where you know that the Holy Spirit has given you a sudden revelation that you need to be in relationship with Him, that you need to set up a spiritual bank account with Him, then all you need to simply do is say, Jesus, I believe in You. I want Your forgiveness, and I'm going to live different. And if that is you this morning, I just want to ask you to do something very brave and just acknowledge that. And in fact, if we could close our eyes, the rest of us. And if that's the place that you're in this morning, then I just want you to acknowledge that. Let's just stand. And we're going to wrap up very shortly. But can I just ask the prayer team, if you could come down now. You know, it's so important in this environment of family and friendship that, you know, that we support one another. So we just make it part of our culture that we make ourselves available to each other, to support each other. And if God is just challenging you this morning, or speaking to you, or that you need some support, then we've got some great guys who are just wanting to stand with you and pray with you and help you. So I don't... Yeah, brilliant.
Why don't we thank Dave for speaking to us so brilliantly? You know, I was just sat there listening and thinking about this analogy of this bank balance. And I don't know about you, but if you just apply that to your life for a moment, if you arrived this morning and you didn't realize that you got something that was in your bank balance, and this morning this guy at the front, incredibly handsome and knowledgeable man, Mr. Ransom, explained to you that you actually, in your bank balance was £1 million. No, more than that, it was £10 million. And you didn't know it before, but just as you're walking out the building, suddenly it hit you that in your bank balance there was £10 million. Do you think you might leave the place a little bit differently? I don't read a lot of celebrity magazines, but those kind of people who've got a lot of wealth, they operate differently. It changes. It does transform people talk about it, don't they? It transforms your life if you had £10 million. I know that if you listen to them, they'll say, actually, they feel incredibly empty. But do you see what I mean? You could tell the difference between someone who has £10 million in their bank account because they just operate a little bit differently. You know, I wonder, actually, if people who've got £10 million in their bank account, they walk a little bit differently. They're kind of like, a bit of a swagger. Hey, £10 million, yay, £10 million. You know, if you have £10 million in your bank account, you drive a different car, generally speaking. It's evidence that you are wealthy. And of course, this morning, the truth is that none of us have got £10 million that I'm aware of. Anyway, anyone? If you have, talk to us, because we need some. But this morning, the reality is, if you just allow it to sink in for a moment, that this truth, £10 million will only last you until you die. But this truth, eternally blessed, has consequences that go a lot further and make a lot more difference. But I just wonder if, as we walk out the building this morning, that we're aware that the revelation has hit us yet, that actually this spiritual bank account is really that transformational. You know, the word, I don't know what the opposite of transformed is. Is it conformed? Conformed is such a small, narrow word. Don't be conformed, be transformed. What does transformed look like? It's transformational, it's transforming, it's totally different. And this morning, because I know what happens in these kind of meetings, we can hear something, and some of us heard it before, and it just washes over us. But I feel like this morning, I'd like you, just as we close our meeting this morning, just to declare these things together. I'm chosen in Christ. And I almost want you to point at yourself. Here's a bit of pointing. Pointing's rude, I know, I appreciate that. Don't worry, I've brought up properly. I don't point, let me tell you. But I feel like this morning, as we finish, that it's almost like we need to speak to ourselves and just declare these things. Is that all right? Because if it's true that we are eternally blessed, then it should transform the way that we live. It should transform the way that we operate. Everywhere we go, if this is true, then it does make a difference, doesn't it? I can't live the way that I used to. I can't get away with saying I am poor. I can't say I'm a spiritual pauper, because it's not true. I can't say that I wasn't planned, because it's not true. I was chosen by God. If that's true, then I can't say that anymore. So if you've got your pointy finger ready, why don't we just say these five statements together, and then we'll just dismiss one another. And so, I'm pointing at me. You don't have to do silly things, but you do have to take hold of the truth. So let's say these things together, shall we? Today, I am chosen in Christ. Today, I am adopted in Christ. Today, I am free and forgiven in Christ. Today, I am expectant. Today, I am secure in Christ. It's true. It's true. And Father, my prayer is that as we leave this building, that we recognize once again the truth that we are eternally blessed. Thank you that this was your mysterious plan which has been revealed to us. Those of us who are in Christ, chosen, adopted, free, expectant, and secure. God, allow us to see it, we pray. To live the transformed life, to know the transformed life in Jesus' name.